If you unpack the toolbox of technology that's promising to redefine retirement planning, does it actually deliver? On this episode, we're going to take a look at the wave of innovations from personal finance management software to online calculators and question whether they truly simplify the planning process or introduce new complexities this week here on Mondays with Matt.
Welcome to Mondays with Matt Starkey. Start each week fresh with sound financial advice. Grab your coffee and maybe a pen. It's time to kick off your week with Matt.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the podcast this week. Mondays with Matt here, our second edition of March 2024. And Matt and I are going to run down some technology in retirement planning. New technology, how it's changing the game. We're going to run through a few of these. We'll see if we can squeeze off five or six or so of different things we want to kind of talk about and just get Matt's take on this as a financial professional of many years. Does he see advantages to some of these or disadvantages to some of these? What's going on, buddy? How are you?
Well, Mark, if you're using technology, you should already know how I am.
Nice. I don't think it's technology.
Did you see my post about 10 minutes ago?
Exactly.
You don't know what's going on in my life?
Exactly. I just read that, you know, Matt's feeling down, bummer, you know, or whatever it might be, right? Yeah, that's pretty true. We can track each other fairly well with these things. A little too well, actually.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I hope you're doing well, my friend. And I've got some good stuff I want to run down here because it'd be interesting to get your take on this. How do you use this? How do you view this? You know, what do you think it's doing to the industry? You know, wherever you feel like taking these different pieces. But I want to run down some here. Let's just start with the big old 800-pound gorilla, which is Google, right? I mean, you Google every flipping thing. And so what do you think about just kind of using it in the retirement or the financial planning space? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, technology is interesting because I'm not going to be one to say don't use Google because I use it for a lot of things.
I mean, you almost have to, right?
Yeah. I mean, whether it's financial or whether it's, you know, health and fitness or whether it's romance, you know, kind of those are the three big categories that most people search on. But there's, yeah, Google even is such a huge, I mean, I remember when the internet was introduced, right? And it was like, everybody's
man,
like,
man, you're old. No,
I know, right?
I'm kidding.
Just dated myself. But yeah, when the internet first came out, I remember saying, this is going to change your life. You know, this is going to change how we shop and everything else. And I thought, nobody's going to buy online. And nobody's gonna... Guess what? Amazon changed that, didn't they? And they'll be top. Google changed this. And so searching for whatever information you want, it's quick. It's easy. It's also,
but don't believe everything you read on the internet that you Google searched either, right?
Don't believe everything you read and be careful of, you know, reading the first or second thing because those are usually just ads. They're not the real what you're looking for.
But yeah,
this is the first generation, like my kids, where they don't have to ask their parents everything.
Fully raised on a smartphone, not even the internet, but a smartphone.
Yeah. And if you have a smartphone or a tablet in front of your kids, if they have a question, they're searching or their friends. I mean, believe me, it has changed the world.
Big time.
So Google, it's okay to get that initial information. YouTube is just as, I think YouTube is slated to become, if they are not already, the biggest search engine, which is part of Google, right?
It is, they do belong. Yeah, it belongs to them. Now, that's a great point.
So many things are on YouTube now. There's a video about every darn thing you could imagine.
Yeah, how to fix your dryer or how to whatever. There's really useful stuff, but there's also a lot of, you know, disinformation. So
that's right.
I like your line you just said a minute ago. You said it's useful to kind of start the query of information or questions you might have. But at some point, you got to move it out of the cyberspace and into reality. But before we do that, let me ask you about number two, which is robo-advisor. So maybe you Google something for a question to talk to your advisor about and you take it to a real person like yourself. Great. But what about taking it to a robo-advisor and just robo-advisors in general? What's your thoughts on those?
Yeah, robo-advisors were something we were alerted to, I'd say maybe 7 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And they said, you know, this is going to be a big competition for you as investment advisors. And
right.
I thought, oh, really? You know, and this is really something to watch out for. But I think as time has progressed, people have found out robo-advisors aren't doing the same job a financial advisor would do. They're limited as AI and ChatGPT and all that comes into play. You can get a lot of information out there. How do you apply it, though, to your own personal financial situation? I'm not worried about competing with robo-advisors as far as advice goes because every situation with every client tends to be different. And the advice that we would offer is based on your circumstances. So there's not a one size fits all out there, but robo-advisors do, they can do a job for you in terms of, if I want to put my money and have it managed to this degree. One of the things that they probably don't calculate for, there's several things, but I think we do a very conscientious job at looking at things like turnover in the portfolio, time out of the market, if we are using active management versus passive, and a lot of different things. But it's like the Terminator. You still have a little healthy fear of technology and where it might lead, right?
Exactly. Well, you mentioned calculating. Online calculators, now they're everywhere, Matt. So you can do an online calculator to get a rough idea on your mortgage you're thinking about or for your retirement or whatever, right? So do you find these to be a useful tool?
Yes, I do. In fact, I had new clients come in, just came in to have me double check. They've been a do-it-yourself person for 30 years. They're getting ready to retire, and he thinks he did a pretty good job. He's using some software out there. The online calculators do an adequate job, but there are things that you have to just, like I mentioned, that are customized to your situation, and the calculators can't plan for everything. They can ask you for the input, but if you're not knowledgeable enough, again, you needed the help of somebody who does this day in and day out. They are a regular advisor, and that's what we're doing for them is we're first running them through, and we're going to analyze what planning that they've done. But secondly, we do this every day. So we've got hundreds of examples of clients that are all through all different scenarios.
Yeah.
And there's no replacement for experience. And let me tell you,
that is true. That,
so true. I mean, you can talk to a robot, you can run through a calculator, but when rubber meets the road, and you got to look at every detail of your financial situation and does it apply? And that's the question, you know, where I think having another set of eyes, having an advisor look at what you're doing makes very good sense.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of do-it-yourselfers, that's the next one here. Look, I mean, it can Scottrade, E-Trade, whatever. These things can be pretty useful. I think people can certainly do a lot with these and they can be very helpful. But at the same time, if you're going to work with a financial professional to build a plan that you guys are doing together, do you really need these, you know, kinds of things unless you're doing some speculative or some fun investing? At least that's my take. How do you see it as an actual, you know, professional?
I think that there's a lot of people that need to get started somewhere. Sometimes they'll experiment. And there is a lot of information out there that sometimes can be helpful to us. I would be amiss if I said don't use them, because there's information out there. It abounds everywhere. As kind of like we talked about, does it apply to your situation? And if it does, what kind of tax rules apply? What do I need to be conscious of in 30 years when I pull the money out? Am I using the right vehicle?
Okay.
I mean, I might be investing all my money in a super volatile portfolio. I could probably possibly do better with a lot less volatility, maybe even lower expenses, and get a better diversification just by changing the funds that I'm using. So,
yeah, good point.
A lot of this takes a critical eye to look over. And like I said, it takes experience from an advisor that, hey, this is a great investment. Yeah, but you got to watch out for this, or you got to watch out for that. I mean, let me just ask you this when it comes to do-it-yourself.
Okay.
Have you ever made a mistake?
Yeah, right. We all have,
you
right?
Know, we're all Betty Crockers when it comes to, oh, I can mix two eggs and some oil and some, but you know what? If you don't get the ingredients right, or you don't cook it just right, you still got a sloppy mess. You don't have a real cake. So you got to be careful.
That's funny.
Especially when it comes to something like your financial planning, you know, your long-term, hey, are we going to meet our goals? If some other people are dependent on you, you have a big responsibility. And just being humble enough to say, hey, I need some help here, it goes a long way.
Definitely does go a long way. All right. So 24-hour news cycle certainly has changed many things in our world. So just think about this from an economic or the business news, right, if you will. All these channels, again, it's 24 flipping hours a day. They have to have something to talk about. And sometimes it gets a little thin, right? They're kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel for some sort of news story here. And often, as we all know, it becomes completely sensationalistic, maybe even trying to kind of, you know, put a little fear into you.
Yeah, you're not wrong there, Mark. Sensationalistic is a good word. You know, we all are familiar with the gentleman where he's got to slam the emergency light and, you know, throw water in his face and, hey, there's an emergency stock buy here. You know, it really, really, if you look at the fine print, these are all done. These news programs are frequently done with the one intent in mind. That's to get your money. And they make money. That's why they buy spots on the cable news. They make money when you invest with or through them or in the companies they're recommending. So you got to be very careful. As I say, all these are okay to maybe look at, maybe listen to, maybe research or read a little bit.
Right.
But then have an advisor. Have an advisor, because you need to bounce these ideas off or say, hey, you know, I have clients sometimes that'll bring up something that might be new or maybe that I haven't heard about or researched just yet. But after looking at it, after researching it, even other advisors, you know, have come to me and they've been tricked by the media because a certain company is selling them a product. They're selling them a guarantee. But if you look at the fine print, it says right in there that these are hypothetical returns. They're not actual. This is just an example. Don't be fooled.
Okay.
And even advisors get fooled.
Oh, for sure. Right. Well, and if you're looking for education and you're thinking about watching something, right? So webinars and online courses are definitely everywhere. You know, and obviously many advisors offer these through their website, right? And so I think, are you licensed? Are you properly licensed? And if you're checking out webinars or online courses from a qualified licensed financial professional that has an active practice, and you can Google, you can go to FINRA.org to make sure that they're in good standing. I think these things can be very useful, right? If you're just signing up for, $49.99 to sign up for this online course to teach you how to, save better, those could maybe be a little bit more about just trying to get, 500 people to sign up at $50, and maybe the content's not all that great.
Yeah. I mean, once you sign up for a course like that, they did what their marketing was supposed to do. They got you to buy. Some of that stuff you got to be wary of. Again, keep in mind that these people are marketing for a reason. You know, a lot of them will tell you it's to protect you from the big bad wolf out there. But you got to really
they might be the big bad wolf.
They might be the big, a lot of them are. And so I had a lady one time who came to me and she had bought an annuity from over the internet. She literally had this one guy she was listening to as a business guy, and he had a friend who was in the financial business. And long story short is I looked up the guy's name. Well, the reason she bought from the friend is because the guy who was the main contact had been barred from doing business in California because he stole $500,000 from somebody.
Yikes.
Like literally took it into a private investment, never paid the guy back.
Yeah.
He was barred from the insurance business, so he couldn't sell the annuities himself. So he had a partner that sold the annuity to her over the internet. And I'm like, are you crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, we just got done talking about fraud in our last podcast. And here you are giving your information out to somebody you don't know. You didn't do the research, because I did do the research and I went to the state's website and it shows he was barred because he defrauded somebody for $500,000. You got to be careful.
Yeah, that's
watching
crazy.
These webinars and who you're dealing with. Do research about this.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But frequently, that's if they got a smooth story and a smooth look, that's what a con man does, right?
That's right. Johnny Blowdry.
Got to do the due diligence and check their background. And if you still have questions, call me, because this is the kind of stuff that people fall for. And they can lose their life savings.
Exactly. Hey, what do you think about personal finance software? Like Quicken. I mean, I think these things could be quite useful for people. Yeah.
Yeah. There are some good softwares out there. Quicken. There's tax software. There's financial planning software. Some of that stuff is free. Then you can get on the free version. You might have to upgrade if you want a few of the bells and whistles.
Yeah.
I tried some of the accounting software myself just to kind of run my books. It wasn't my forte. It's not what I wanted to do. So I ended up getting rid of the software that I was using for that. I use a personal accountant to do the business side of things for me. But sometimes softwares work great. And if you are that kind of do-it-yourselfer, a lot of them can guide you through some of the platforms and things like that. As I mentioned with financial planning software, it's out there and it's available. Sometimes some of these apps, the mobile banking apps.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah. I mean, obviously just about people now are just heavily, heavily banking online. I mean, 10 years ago, half the people were like, I don't feel comfortable doing that. But now it seems like everybody I know is okay doing it.
It's changed a lot. Yeah. I have my son even who knows what business I'm in, right? He he downloaded the Robinhood app and he's like, hey, Dad, you know, check this out. If you want to do this, I'll get credit and you'll get, we'll get a free share of stock if we each, if you download this off my referral. And I'm like, okay, that's great, but I'm not going to do it. But it's kind of fun to see the interest. But
indeed,
what happens a lot of times too is when you download these things or you use that free software or you fall for the ploy of a free this or free that, you get caught into the web, and then all of a sudden they have you, and then you're buying this or buying that product or service from these companies. So you got to be aware. There might be an ulterior motive, but there are some good, like Quicken is a good personal finance software.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Some of the softwares will actually tie together and aggregate your assets. I'm talking with one of our custodians about that right now. There's some new software that is being introduced for clients, and it sounds very promising as far as aggregating, where they could actually give permission to log in and just to capture values, and it can put their bring all their assets together in one report.
It'd be gotcha.
Pretty cool. Yep.
Well, let's do one last one here. What do you think about digital estate planning services online, right? Your online wills, your trusts, your LegalZoom to get a quick thing put together. Is that useful if you have a very simplistic approach, or, you know, are you better off paying the fees to have an attorney draw this up?
Well, again, knowledge is power, and using the software, there are softwares out there. I've used some myself to save some money in the past.
Right.
You know, even everything from like a basic land contract to a lease agreement. I did find one time, and I'll share this personal story because it does go a long way to say, watch what you do, because you just might have to pay for it. So I've had rentals for 20 some years, and I had a lease with an option to buy agreement that I arranged. So basically the guy didn't have enough money to buy it from me, but he wanted to lease it until he could buy it. And I had just entered the agreement with him. He gave me a couple $1,000s down to move into the house. The first month he didn't pay me rent. So I thought I had it figured out by doing the contract myself.
Yeah.
We went to court. I settled. Basically, I had to give him, he didn't end up paying me rent, but we settled back. I got paid for the time that he was in the house, but I had to give him his deposit back because we called the money that he gave me deposit. You should have called it consideration for the option to buy. So if I would have done that, I could have kept the $3,000 down that he gave me, which
all in the wording, huh?
Was legally mine. We came to an agreement. He looked at the house, wanted the house, and then he didn't pay me the first month. So I think he was trying to intentionally do harm to me. I was not intentionally doing any harm to him, but what I thought was this great, you know, opportunity to use my own contract or software cost me about $3,000. So it'd been cheaper to use an attorney for $500 to draft it.
There you go. Yeah.
And so beware, they do work. The softwares do work. Some of them are easy to follow, you know, but you have to have the documents notarized. And then you want to make sure that you're following your state rules. They're different in every state. You want to make sure that you get a deed prepared for property so that if, like, you did an online living trust, you got to have a deed that puts the real estate in the trust. So a lot of times I'll recommend just using an attorney anyways, because they, you know, you're going to get a package and they're going to include all of that in there.
There you go. All right. So there's some technology things that we got from Matt. As far as, you know, are some of these things useful? Yeah, like anything, some things can be very useful in moderation. I don't know that I would hang my hat on totally anything. Sometimes, you know, in this world, there's a lot of stuff to take into account. So if you've got those questions, you need some help, you're using some stuff, or you're just not quite sure, you want to even just, you know, have that second set of eyeballs on some things, reach out to Matt and his team at GreatLakesRetirementSolutions.com. That's GreatLakesRetirementSolutions.com. Hopefully, as always, you found this podcast useful with some nuggets, good nuggets of information. And if you do need that help, again, reach out to Matt and schedule some time on his calendar, GreatLakesRetirementSolutions.com. And Matt, thanks for hanging out, buddy.
Hey, thank you, Mark. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We hope this podcast was awesome for you, opened your eyes to some things. And, you know, if you're going to give it a shot with digital technologies, make sure that you vet them and make sure you get it. Like, as Mark said, have us take a second look at what you're doing to make sure that we're not missing anything.
There you go. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to us. Speaking of technology, right? Kind of a double-edged sword. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. Mondays with Matt. We'll see you next time.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.